Good evening. Welcome to the gospel meeting. Let's start by singing number 13. Man of sorrows, what a name. We've been saying that the Lord was going to come now for 2,000 years. The Lord said when he, in Revelation, he says, surely I come quickly. But we've been waiting for so many, for so long. But we are still waiting. Jesus Christ is coming soon. But I think there's some things that are happening in our world today that are showing how close the coming of the Lord really is. We see the financial fallout all around the world and all the problems it's causing for people. Many people are losing their retirement funds and they're helpless. They don't know what to do. And now there's the possibility that this country will elect a president who has close alliances with the Islamic world. Something like that could neutralize the protection of the state of Israel. That's what they want. They want to destroy Israel. If that happens, the beast will have to take control in the Roman Empire. The confidence of the Arabs will increase. They will want to destroy Israel. But these things cannot happen until the tribulation, and that is very soon. But before the tribulation comes, the Lord Jesus needs to come and take us home to be with himself. That means that the coming of the Lord is very near. Very near. There's not anything else that needs to happen before the Lord Jesus will come to take us to heaven to be with himself. Are you ready? Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Let's go to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. We'll find that there's two ways that God has for a person to inherit eternal life. We all know that one of them doesn't work. But there's the law and the gospel. The rich young ruler came to the Lord Jesus. And he asked him, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The Lord Jesus told him, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. Love thy neighbor as thyself. Oh, this young man, he rejoiced. He says, I have done all these things from my youth up, but what do I lack? What else do I need to do? The Lord Jesus said to him, He said, sell everything that you have and give it to the poor. Oh, we find the young man. He did not love his neighbor as himself. He was so involved in life with the pleasures of this world. Pleasure, success. That's what this world is going after today. Pleasure, entertainment, and success. The rich young man, he hung his head and he walked off. He enjoyed the riches and the pleasures of this world. He was a successful young man. What about you? Are you going to miss out like the rich man? He walked away from Jesus, and Jesus loved him. Jesus loves you too. He loves you, and that's why the gospel goes out again tonight. There's the law, and there's the gospel. The law can only bring to you condemnation. The gospel offers you salvation. The law is like a mirror. And if we look in verse 23 of Romans 3, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The law is like a mirror. It shows us what we really are. It shows us all have sinned and that we've come short of God's glory. There's no law that we can keep to get to heaven, to get to the Lord Jesus. And then the law is also like a hammer. The law, it can break up any idea that we might have that we can be good enough to get to heaven. And so the law breaks up those notions. And look in verse 20. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is knowledge of sin. When you read through the law, you find out you can't keep them. Maybe you've been able to keep one or two, but you've been breaking one. When you're guilty of one, you're guilty of them all. And the law shows you that you cannot be good. You're not good enough to inherit eternal life. And then the law is like a whip that drives us to the cross, to the Savior. And look down in verse 28. Therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. You can't inherit eternal life with the deeds of the law. You try, it's going to drive you to the cross, drive you to Christ. You can only be saved through faith. Faith with faith and not works. There's thousands of religions in this world. They're based on the law. There's a song, an old hymn that we sing. Everything in my hands I bring. We can bring all sorts of things to God, like Cain, who brought his good works, his good fruits. God doesn't want them. We can bring our money. We can give to the poor. We can help the needy. We can pray to Mary. None of it. We can bring nothing to God. He doesn't want those things. The law says, we heard this last night, the law says, go. But the gospel says, come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The gospel, or the law, says, do. But the gospel says, come. The gospel says, done. It is finished. When the Lord Jesus, the last thing he said, before he commended his spirit to the Father, he said, it is finished. There's nothing more that needs to be done for you to inherit eternal life. You cannot do the law. You cannot do the good. There's 40,000 religions, all based on the fact of doing, doing, doing. But the gospel, it says, it is done. It is finished. That old hymn, it goes on to say, "Nothing in my hands I bring. It's simply to the cross I cling." The cross, that's where Jesus Christ bore our sins on Himself. We need to admit that we are a sinner, that we're lost. We cannot help ourselves. We deserve the punishment that Jesus took on the cross. We deserve to go through hell. The Lord Jesus went through hell and punishment on the cross for you because He loves you. Let's go to Romans chapter 5. This verse speaks about death. And you know, in Psalm 116, it talks about precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. If you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, it's not a thing you need to fear of death. But in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 31, it says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. If you die in your sins without Christ, it is a fearful thing. There's a lot of death in this world. I just came back from Malawi. There's a lot of death in Malawi. There was a 12-year-old boy. We went to a village one day to share the gospel in the village. And when we got there, one of the children, 12-year-old, they asked us to take him up to the hospital. And so we went up the Livingstonia Mountain. There's 27 switchbacks all the way up to the top, very rough road. And we got up there and dropped the boy off at the hospital with his mother. We went back there a couple days later to see how the boy was. And when we got there, the boy had died. So we brought the family. All the relatives had gone up there. And so they all piled into the back of the pickup. And they put the body in the back. And down we went, down the hill, back to the village. As we were getting close to the village, all the ladies in the back of the pickup started wailing their death howl. As we got up closer to the village and brought the body into the house, there were 30 or 40 women and men around the house wailing the death wail. It was frightening. There's a lot of death in this world. Fear of death. Romans chapter 5, verse 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." In Genesis chapter 6, we find that man, who God had put on the earth, had corrupted. They had sinned. By one man, Adam, started it. Each and every person in the world since then is a sinner. That includes you. And in Genesis chapter 6, God looked down at the world. He saw how wicked man had become. He says, "I'm going to wipe them off the face of the earth." God was sorry that He had ever made man. The sin is a distress to God. In Numbers 22, we find that God says sin is perverse. It's unacceptable. Sin is wickedness, disobedience, stubbornness. Sin is wrong. Proverbs tells us that sin is an abomination. What is an abomination? An abomination to the Lord. God has an extreme hatred for sin. Let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 32. God says that if you disobey, in Genesis He says that if you disobey God, you will surely die. I think there's not one here in this room who has not disobeyed God. Every one of you in this room deserves to die. Let's read Deuteronomy chapter 32, start at verse 19. "And when the Lord saw it, He abhorred them because of the provoking of His sons and of His daughters." The Lord was looking down and He was seeing the wickedness of man. And He said, "I will hide my face from them, I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. Do you have faith? Are you trying to get to heaven by your goodness? Are you sitting back saying, oh, I have time? I tell you, you do not have time. The end is very near. The Lord Jesus says, surely I come quickly. Do you have faith? Have you trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Verse 21, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Now listen to this verse 22. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. Sin is an abomination to the Lord. He has an extreme hatred for sin. The fire is kindled in his anger against sin. Once you sin, it's easier to sin again the next time. And sin will just drag you down into the pit of hell. One day I was in St. Paul, Minnesota, and I was sitting in a motel room reading my Bible, and I heard a noise outside, and I looked out the window, and here, there was a helicopter out there between the two tall buildings, and there was just a street between the two buildings, and a helicopter in the middle there, and looked like he was doing maneuvers there and tricks, and I'd never seen a helicopter do somersaults and tricks like that before, and it was quite interesting. But then I noticed that the pilot was out of control. The engines were cutting out, and he was diving down. Then he would restore the engine, and he'd be able to come back up, and he was doing flips. And finally, he went into a downspin. Down, 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 until he crashed on the roof of a building close by. The pilot, he was frightened. He had fear. He jumped out of that upside-down helicopter, and he ran across to the other end of the building. Sin is like that. You start sin once, you allow something in your life, and it will take you down into bigger sin, and you will go down, 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 until you crash into the lake of fire. God says that you are born as a sinner, and that your heart is evil from your youth up. Each one of us is a sinner. Let's go to Luke chapter 5. Now, before I read a verse here, I have a poem that I wrote, and I want to share it with you. And I think maybe some of you who have been born in a Christian home will be able to identify with some of the thoughts in this poem. Born and raised in a Christian home some odd years ago, doing everything just right was all that I should know. The Bible read, the rules laid down, just as Dad saw fit. Went to meeting, said my prayers, was not to stray a bit. Learn some verses, answer questions down at Sunday school. You'd never know I wasn't saved by acting out the rule. I'd listened to the gospel many thousand times. Though held in very high regard, meant little more than rhymes. Then one gospel message heard, I trembled at the thought. Jesus shed his precious blood. For me, it could be naught. Parking in the fire zone wasn't good, I'd see. If standing at the great white throne, he'd say, depart from me. So then it was that I got saved, confessing all my sin, believing on the Son of God. His love my heart did win. Maybe you can identify with some of that. But I had to admit that I was a sinner, that I was lost. If you are not convinced that you are a sinner, if you feel that you do not need a Savior tonight, then you have no hope. You have no hope. And you can have no peace. Jesus did not come to save you. Let's read our verse in Luke 5 and verse 32. I came not to call the righteous, that's the good people. I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In Romans chapter 3, verse 12, we find that there is none good. There is none righteous, no, not one. That includes you. There is no goodness in you that can please God, that can satisfy God. Verse 17 in Romans 3 says there is no peace. You can have no peace without God. And then verse 18 says, you have no fear of God. Some years ago, a lot of the young people used to wear t-shirts that said across the front, no fear. Maybe you think you have no fear today. You have no fear of your friends. You think you're in control of yourself. You have no fear of the school or the teachers or the police. You have no fear. Why? Why do you have no fear? Tonight I want to put the fear of God in you. And we will shortly. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 2. This chapter has some very serious violations against God. If you want to get ahead in this world, if you want to follow your own desires, you can. It's scriptural. God records these things in His Word. In verse 3, it talks about covetousness. How many of us want something more than what we have? We go and spend our life striving to get these things. We're covetousness. Verse 6 talks about the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, which were condemned and burned in the fire. What is Sodom and Gomorrah a picture of? We know that it was destroyed because of all the wickedness there that sickened God at His heart. And so He destroyed the city with fire and brimstone. You know, I know a man. He used to be gathered to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to the meetings. He even spoke in the Sunday school. That man decided that he had a liking for other men.